الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue reading and studying together أحكام الصيام, the rulings related to fasting, the rulings related to fasting. In our previous class, we discussed the issue of the kafara, the one who was not able to fast, that it's permissible for him to feed a poor person for each day. And we read the fatwa of one of the great scholars of our times, Sheikh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala. So the one who was not able to fast because of a terminal sickness or because of old age, then it's permissible for him to feed a person every day, for every day. And we were reading from the statement of the Shaykh, and I want to make something clear from that previous class. And that is that the Shaykh, he mentioned that one would feed a poor person for each day, and he can feed it, the person before the fasting or during the fast or after the fast. Remember this one? Everybody with me? Tayyib. Well, I want to make clear the intent whenever he said, Rahimahullah ta'ala, it's permissible to feed or to pay the kafara, to feed the person, to give the food before the fast. What does that mean? This is the understanding that we want to make sure is correct. Because this could be understood from that statement, before Ramadan comes in. That's not the intent. Before the fast, meaning before that day of fasting. Because he's going to expiate for that day. For example, the first day of fasting or the second day of fasting. We say he wants to expiate for the second day of fasting. So that's the meaning here of the Shaykh. It's permissible for him to pay the expiation before the fast, during the fast, or after the fast. And before he fasts that day. So he could expiate the day that he did not fast yet. But as for paying the expiation before the day, before Ramadan comes in, then this one is not going to be acceptable. This one is not going to be acceptable because Ramadan is obligatory. The fast of Ramadan is obligatory, and we have seen upon whom. Now, but when does it become obligatory? Huh? Whenever the month comes in, either by the sighting of the moon or going 30 days. So before the month of Ramadan comes in, the obligation of Ramadan is not present. It's not obligatory until the month of Ramadan comes in. So therefore, the reason for the obligation is not there. So one cannot precede that by paying the expiation. He must pay the expiation after the coming of Ramadan. Once Ramadan comes, now he can pay all in one time, or he can pay one day at a time. He can pay before the first day, and he can pay that night. Once Ramadan has entered, now he can begin to expiate for the days that he will miss. He can pay them all at once. He can delay them and pay them later. He can pay them one day at a time. He can pay them before the fast in the daytime, or during the daytime, or at the nighttime. Or he can wait to the end, or he can gather them all together, or gather several together and feed them, and the likes like this that we've seen in the previous class. But the point I would like to make clear, that we understand this correctly, that it's not permissible to pay the kafara or the expiation of the feeding for the one who is not able to fast because of a terminal sickness or because of old age. He cannot pay that kafara before Ramadan. Naam, it's clear? Tayyib. Because that could be understood from the statement. But the ulama, they have a consensus about this. Yeah. The kifara cannot be paid until the Ramadan comes and the obligation of Ramadan is present. And at this time, now he can pay. He can pay before he fasts or after he fasts. But the month of Ramadan must be in. Naam. Tayyib. If he delays it after, it's also permissible. If after, but he has to, it's best to pay it before the next Ramadan. But it's best to, need to make mubadara. فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ, hasten to the good. And this is something that will be an obligation on him. And if he ذِمَّتِهِ. So this is an obligation that will be upon him until he fulfills it. So a person would hope to fulfill that and fulfill this great act of worship, seeking nearness to Allah Azza wa Jalla. But if he delayed for some reason, naam, later, then that's permissible likewise, as the Shaykh he mentioned. Naam, as the Shaykh he mentioned, he said he can pay it before or during or after. He can pay it to one person or a group of people and the likes like this. There was another benefit from a statement while we're reviewing, and that is that the one who gives the money, it will not suffice him. He can't pay the price. He can't pay the price. Who remembers the amount that the Shaykh he mentioned? Huh? Nisfu sa', half of a sa'. How much is a sa'? A whole sa' is close to three. The ulama, they mentioned two and a half or two and three quarters is close to three. A sa'. Naam, but the they mentioned that it's four mud. Arba'atu amdad. Naam, like this. So a half of a sa' would be half of that. About a kilo and a half, approximately. Approximately. The ulama, they differed about this. Some of the ulama, they mentioned it would only be a mud. But the fatwa of Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah ta'ala, that we were reading from, this is what he had mentioned, a half of a sa'. وَذَلِكَ بِمَقْدَادِ كِلَوْ وَنِسْفْ تَقْرِيبًا, he said, rahimahullah ta'ala, وَلَا تُجْزِئُ النُّقُودِ, and the cash will not suffice. The cash will not suffice. He says, well, it can be before the fasting or after the fasting or and the likes like this. And once the fast has come, before he fasts that day or after he fasts that day, he can expiate for that day or for several days. Naam? It's clear? Any questions with regards to that? Naam? Barakallahu feekum jami'an. Tayyib, we have another issue. Question. What is the purpose and what is the intent or the goal that a Muslim will strive to achieve from the fast? Taqwa. At-taqwa. Taqwa Allah. Anybody disagree or agree? Everybody's on the same page? Huh? Sabr. Patience. The main goal. Fulfilling the command of Allah. This is the reality of taqwa. Sah? Naam. Okay, is there any evidence for this? Evidence for the fact that it's any of the main goal. What the legislation of this? Naam. Whenever Allah Azza wa Jalla, he began to mention. And this is something that if we ponder over the words of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and ponder over His book, and we look at the context in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah number 183. Jazakallah khairah. Tayyib, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He begins all of the rulings in the Quran with regards to the fasting of the month of Ramadan. They're related here in this context. About approximately one page worth of, or a page and a half, approximately. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentions the rulings in detail of fasting, the obligation of fasting, and the month of fasting is Ramadan. And the likes like this, and mention some of the rulings during the fasting, and also some of the etiquettes of fasting, and the likes like this. But we see that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He opened these verses and closed these verses in a similar manner. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, He mentions, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, kutiba alaykum as-siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqun." O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed upon you, and it's been made obligatory. Who remembers the meaning of kutiba in this verse? The ulama they mentioned? Furidha. Furidha. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it farad, obligatory, wajib. Furidha. Kutiba. And kitabatin shar'iyya. It's been made obligatory. And the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jal prescribed upon you and just as it was prescribed upon those before you. And then he mentioned subhanahu wa ta'ala la'allakum tattaqoon. So that you may obtain piety. So that you may be from the people of at-taqwa. So that you may obtain at-taqwa. So this is why Allah Azza wa Jal, He has, this is the hikmah and the wisdom behind the legislation of fasting. The fasting of the month of Ramadan, that a Muslim, he can achieve the state, and that he can obtain the piety in his heart and the righteousness that he is able to perform, that he will be able to perform the actions that are pleasing to Allah and stay away from the actions that are displeasing to Allah, that he can be from the pious. So the intent behind the fast of Ramadan is not to be hungry or not to experience hardship or not to be thirsty and the likes like this. That the intent, Allah Azza wa Jal, he did not legislate this to cause harm. لا يريد بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. That Allah, he wants for you ease, he does not want for you difficulty. But likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions that he took مِنُ الْعِدَّةَ وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. So that you can complete this period and that you may praise Allah, that you may glorify Him and magnify Him. And with your hearts and with your tongues and with your body parts, praising Him and complying to His commandments and His and prohibitions, and worshiping Him with ikhlas and with sincerity according to the way of the Messenger. لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ, for what He has guided you, so that you may praise and magnify Allah Azza wa Jalla for guiding you. Now, and so that they may show thanks. And show that they may show thanks. This is in the middle of the context of these verses, this particular verse here. And then in the end, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He mentioned again, He says about this reality of these verses, closing the verses of fasting, He said, تِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limits of Allah. These are the limits of Allah Azza wa Jalla. He says, فَلَا تَقْرَبُوهَا. So do not come near them. لَا تُجَاوِزُوهَا. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوهَا. Don't go beyond them. Don't transgress these limits. These are the limits of Allah that Allah has legislated with regards to this legislation, the legislation of fasting. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned like that. After this, He says, كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ. And this manner, Allah, He clarifies His verses to the people. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. So that they may become pious. So that they may achieve a taqwa. So that they may fear Allah Azza wa Jal. So we see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has began these verses in mentioning that the reason for this fasting is in order to obtain piety and righteousness, which is known as the taqwa, the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise, He has closed these verses and He mentioned that these are His limits that are prescribed and ordained, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have been clarified in His book, and He clarified them in detail Himself, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the people. For what reason? لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. So that they may obtain piety and righteousness, so that they may obtain a taqwa. So we see that this is the main goal and the intent. And from this taqwa is to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to show thanks to Him by complying to His commandments and performing the actions that He is pleased with, and to leave off His prohibitions and stay away from the actions that displeases Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to glorify Him with the tongue. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, and to glorify Him with the heart by remembering Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to glorify Him in one's life and have glorification for His commandments and prohibitions, have glorification for His deen, have glorification and veneration and honor and respect for His deen and for the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Naam, so that you may glorify Him and praise Him and magnify Him for guiding you. For guiding you. It is from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we've been guided. And it's from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we fast. If we fast, it's from His mercy that we have accepted Islam and that we have prayed, and the good that we do is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. It's from the grace of Allah, from His rahmah and from His fadl subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we remember this, so whenever the month of Ramadan comes, the goal of the Muslim is to increase in iman. The goal of the Muslim is to increase in good deeds. The goal of the Muslim is to increase in good speech. The goal of the Muslim is to refine his soul and to look into himself, to take himself into account, and to remove from himself the foulness that he finds and the wickedness that he finds from his speech and from his actions. And we see that in reality, شهر رمضان مدرسة عظيمة في التربية الإيمانية. That the month of Ramadan is like a great school and lesson, an opportunity to learn how to cultivate oneself upon the cultivation of true iman and sincere faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this goes with understanding that the purpose of fasting is to draw near to Allah Azza wa Jal, to comply to His commandments, because it has been prescribed upon us. We're fasting to comply to His commandments, seeking His pleasure subhanahu wa ta'ala. التعبد لله التعبد لله. It's an act of worship that is sincerely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if someone were to ask us, what is the wisdom behind fasting, the month of Ramadan? What is the answer? Naam? To draw near to Allah. To obtain? Piety. At-taqwa. At-taqwa. We see that Shaykh As-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned with regards to this verse here, the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَا أَيُّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ. But before that, we read from his statements, likewise is a great benefit from Abdullah bin Mas'ud, that he mentioned that whenever a believer, he hears these words here, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. This comes in the Qur'an in many different places, many different ayat and many different verses, many different portions of the Qur'an in many different chapters. And Ibn Mas'ud, he gives us great direction with regards to how to deal with these verses that begin in this manner. الآيات المبدؤة ب يا أيها الذين آمنوا. He said, إذا سمعت الله يقول يا أيها الذين آمنوا فأرعيها سمعك فإنه خير يأمر به أو شر ينهى عنه رضي الله عنه. He said, if you hear Allah عز وجل saying, O you who believe, then listen attentively. فأرعيها سمعك. Then listen attentively. Because verily it is either some good that Allah is commanding you, or it is some evil that He is forbidding you from. Naam? So we see the good that Allah is commanding here is the commandment of fasting. And the direction for the purpose of fasting likewise, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So we read from the statements of Shaykh Abdul Rahman ibn Nasir, As-Sidi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned these verses here from the verse of Allah Azza wa Jal, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. He mentioned some benefits and then he said, ثُمَّ ذَكَرَ تَعَالَى حِكْمَتَهُ فِي مَشْرُوعِيَةِ الصِّيَامِ فَقَالَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So he mentioned these verses and then he mentioned that Allah Azza wa Jal, he mentioned the wisdom from the legislation of fasting. And it is in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. So that you may become pious, and so that you may obtain a taqwa. He said, رَحِمَهُ تَعَالَى فَإِنَّ السِّيَامَ مِنْ أَكْبَرِ أَسْبَابِ التَّقْوَى لِأَنَّ فِيهِ امْتِثَالَ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَاجْتِنَابَ نَهِيهِ. He said, verily fasting is from the greatest means to obtain piety. From the greatest means to obtain the taqwa of Allah Azza wa Jal is to fast. He said, because in fasting is the compliance to the command of Allah Azza wa Jal and staying away from and leaving off His prohibitions. And it's even more because even during fasting, there are things that are normally permissible, but they become impermissible during fasting. So then this is a great opportunity to train oneself to be obedient. Because if a person can fast these days like this sincerely for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jalla and leave off what is normally permissible for him and what his heart desires and is accustomed to legally, the halal, for example, eating and drinking, and relations with the family. This is permissible normally. Allah has made it halal for the Muslims and for the people. But in the days of Ramadan, it's become haram. It's not permissible. So the one who can train himself and he can cultivate himself upon this piety and righteousness, and he has sincerity and he's fasting with this intent to please Allah Azza wa Jal, not just simply following the Muslims. Ramadan is here again, fasting again. The Muslims are fasting, so I'm fasting. Allah, he's remembering Allah with his heart and he's hoping for the reward with his heart. Naam, he's fearing that his fast will be rejected in his heart. And then he is complying with his body parts. Naam, this one, inshallah, the fast will be beneficial for him. And it will be a means of obtaining piety for him. Because he is complying to the command of Allah. And we know that the reality of this piety is based upon iman. And iman is based upon knowledge. But the reality of al-iman is that it increases and decreases. It increases and decreases. Al-imanu yazidu wa yanqus. وَهَذَا ثَابِتٌ عِنْدَ أَحْلِ السُّنَّةِ. This is something that Ahl al-Sunnah, they firmly believe. We firmly believe this as a Muslim. That iman, it increases and decreases. How does it increase? بِطَاعَةِ اللَّهِ. With obedience to Allah, it increases. So whenever the one is fasting sincerely for the sake of Allah, complying to His commandments, staying away from His prohibitions, hoping for His reward, this is a means for the iman to increase. And thus the piety to enter the heart. The piety to enter the heart. So then, as the author, as Sheikh Al-Sa'di, he mentioned Verily, fasting is from the greatest means of obtaining taqwa. From the greatest means of obtaining taqwa, because in the reality of fasting is the compliance to the commands of Allah and leaving off His prohibitions. And we will see that this is in reality the definition of taqwa. This is the reality of taqwa, is to comply to His commandments, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to leave off His prohibitions, hoping for His reward and fearing His punishment upon knowledge and light and understanding in His religion. So he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَمِمَّا اشْتَمَلَتْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ التَّقْوَى, and fasting, from what fasting consists of, from what fasting consists of, from at-taqwa, number one, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, أَنَّ الصَّائِمْ يَتْرُكُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالْجِمَاعِ وَنَحْوِهَا أَلَّتِي تَمِيلُ إِلَيْهَا نَفْسُهُ مُتَقَرِّبًا بِذَلِكِ إِلَى اللَّهِ رَاجِيًا بِتَرْكِهَا ثَوَابَهُ فَهَذَا مِنَ التَّقْوَى فَهَذَا مِنَ التَّقْوَى. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, because fasting, it consists of taqwa. From this aspect here, the fasting person, he leaves off that which Allah has made impermissible, from food and from drink and from relations with the family and the likes of this, from the things that his heart desires and his soul inclines to. He does all of this seeking nearness to Allah with that, hoping for His reward. Hoping for His reward. And this is from at-taqwa. And this is from at-taqwa. So these are important points for a Muslim to remember. That whenever he's worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal, whether it's with the fast, or whether it's with charity, or whether it's in salat, that he is hoping for the reward. That he's not worshipping Allah in a state of heedlessness. He's not bowing and prostrating. If he's making wudu, he's hoping for the reward. If he's making wudu, he's hoping for the reward. Not just simply moving and making movements. This one, he did not make the wudu properly. Because why? Because wudu is an act of worship. So likewise, the salat and the rest of the deeds, they have to be performed in this manner. Fasting that is done in this manner, then this consists of taqwa. He says, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الصَّائِمَ يُدَرِّبُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى مَرَاقَبَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى فَيَتْرُكُ مَا تَهْوَى نَفْسُهُ مَعَ قُدْرَتِهِ عَلَيْهِ لِعِلْمِهِ بِالطِّلَاعِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. نعم. He mentioned that likewise fasting consists of taqwa from another aspect, and that is the fact that the fasting person, he is training his soul. As I mentioned, this is an opportunity. The month of Ramadan, al-madrasa, of tarbiyah imaniya, to train the soul to be obedient. Naam, but he mentions here to train the soul to be, or to have maraqabah, ala maraqabatillah. Naam, and this is a high status of iman. Al-maraqabah, a high stage in the deen. Al-maraqabah, maraqabatillah. And يدرب نفسه على مراقبة الله. This is the stage of ihsan, and from the highest level of iman, and that is whenever a person, he is observing Allah Azza wa Jal, al-maraqaba, to observe Allah Azza wa Jal, meaning to be aware and to be alert and to understand that Allah Subhanahu wa Taala can see him and hear him at all times, can see him and hear him at all times. The one who remembers and worships Allah like this, that Allah is watching him. And that Allah is listening to him and observing him. And that Allah will either accept his deed or reject it. The one who worships Allah like this, then his worship will not be like the one who worships Allah heedlessly, moving. He forgot, he's thinking, he said Allahu Akbar, but in his heart he's thinking about the work. The one who says Allahu Akbar in his heart, he's thinking about the work. Is Allah really Akbar in his heart at this time? Or something else? So at this time, he says Allahu Akbar, and he's standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal in prayer, but his heart is not thinking about how great Allah is, then this one has conflict. And what he is saying is contrary to what is outward, in the outward appearance is contrary to what is in the inside. But the one who is fasting, hoping for the reward, striving to remember Allah Azza wa Jal, striving to have this maraqabah of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and Allah opens up the gates of paradise, and the mercy is abundant in these days, especially in Ramadan, then this is the time for the person to train himself. This is the time for the person to benefit. Naam, so he will benefit from this. يُدَرِّبُ نَفْسُهُ عَلَى مَرَقَبَةِ اللَّهِ فَيَتْرُكُ مَا تَهْوَى نَفْسُهُ مَا قُدْرَتِهِ عَلَيْهِ. That meaning that he will train himself to observe Allah and be in the observance of Allah, meaning the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal, and that Allah can see him and can hear him at all times. And this will be by leaving off that which his soul desires. Huh? And he has the ability to perform it. For example, drinking. Maybe it's very hot and he's very thirsty. Maybe he's home alone or in the car alone, nobody is around him, but he still leaves it off because he knows that this is an obligation and he knows that Allah can see him and he leaves it. Even though his soul desires it. He leaves it. Even though his soul desires it. Nobody can see him, but he knows that Allah can see him. The people are not there, but his Lord and the Lord of the people can see him. And he is aware of that. And he leaves off this thing because of this. Then this is a means to train himself and to refine his soul. And to nurture himself and to raise himself upon the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. Upon the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal. All the time knowing that Allah can see him and is aware of him. Now, likewise, as Shaykh Sa'di, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, al-thalith, he said, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الصَّائِمَ يَضِيقُ مَجَارِي الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنُّهُ يَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمْ مَجْرَى الدَّمِ مَجْرَى الدَّمِ فَبِالصِّيَامِ يَضْعُفُ نُفُوذُهُ وَتَقِلُّ مِنْهُ الْمَعَاسِي. He mentioned, likewise, the one who is fasting, and this is a benefit, specifically in Ramadan, but in fasting in general, that the veins, they become restricted. They're not flowing. The blood is not flowing in the same manner. And he mentioned that this is the way that the paths or the avenues of Shaytan, because Shaytan, he flows to the son of Adam like in the veins. And the paths of the blood, meaning in the veins. And whenever a person is fasting, the veins tighten up. So then Shaytan has a lesser ability to move through him and to cause him to whisper to him and to cause him to deviate and the likes. And he said because of this, the disobedience is less from the fasting person. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had advised the youth who are not married with fasting for this reason or for a similar reason, because it would weaken this aspect and plus it would weaken his desire. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that whoever is able, ya shabab, man istata'a minkum al-ba'ata falyatazawwaj, whoever is able to get married physically and financially, then let him get married. And whoever is not able to, fa'alayhi bis-siyam, fa innahu lahu wijaa. And then he said that he must fast, he should fast. And this is from the benefit of this, because it causes the individual's desires and also the avenues of shaitan to weaken. So all of this is from taqwa, the whenever the sins are less and fewer. This is from the piety in the heart. He said, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ صَائِمَ فِي الْغَارِبِ تَكْثُرُ طَاعَتُهُ وَطَاعَاتُ مِنْ خِصَارِ التَّقْوَى. He said, likewise, the one who is fasting normally or generally, in most cases, he has abundance of good deeds. He is increasing in doing acts of obedience. And doing actions of obedience in reality is from taqwa. This is from taqwa. And he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, وَمِنْهَا أَنِ الْغَنِي إِذَا ذَاقَ عَلَمَ الْجُوعِ أَوْجَبَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ مُوَاسَّاتِ الْفُقَرَاءِ الْمُعْدِمِينَ وَهَذَا مِنْ خِصَارِ التَّقْوَى. He said, rahimahullah ta'ala, likewise, the one who is wealthy, whenever he tastes the pain of hunger, then this will necessitate for him to have some feelings for the poor, to feel sorry for them and to have rishfaq for them and to show mercy to them and to give to them. And this is likewise from the aspects of taqwa. So the reality of the obligation of fasting is that it's from the pillars of Islam, but it has a great purpose, and that is for the people to obtain piety. This is for the people to become upright. This is for the people to become upright. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he closed these verses and he mentioned that likewise again, he says, كَذَلِكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَّقُونَ. Like this, Allah clarifies his signs to the people so that they may be righteous. They may be righteous. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has clarified these signs so that we may obtain piety. So that we may be from the people of taqwa. So that we may take heed This is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla that He has legislated this legislation of fasting, that He has guided us through the fasting, that He has taught us the way of fasting in His book and on the tongue of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something that necessitates shukr and thanks and compliance and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His ihsan and His fadl and His mercy and His rahmah. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has revealed this book. Here He has revealed His Qur'an. The book of Allah Azza wa Jalla was revealed to bring the people from the darkness into the light. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned about it. He says, هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ لِيُخْرِجِكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Is there anything kinder? Has anyone found an act of kindness greater than being guided from the darkness of disbelief and shirk and polytheism to the light of Islam and Tawheed? Has anyone seen an act of kindness or found an act of kindness greater than being guided from the misguidance of innovation and hizbiyah and the likes to the light of the sunnah and unification upon the way of the methodology of the Salaf? This is a great blessing. This is a great mercy and act of kindness. This is why Allah Azza wa Jalla, He sent down the book, being guided from the darkness and the foulness and the wickedness of sins and transgression and all different types of evil speech and conduct to the light and the purity of good manners and creed and belief and conduct according to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a great mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. هُوَ الَّذِي يُنَزِّلُ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ آيَاتٍ بَيِّنَاتٍ. It is He, Allah, who has revealed to His slave, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, clear verses, لِيُخْرِجَكُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ, to bring you out from the darkness into the light, to bring you out from the darkness into the light. Naam, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Verily Allah is very kind and nice to you. Verily Allah is very kind and nice to you and merciful. Ra'uf, nice and kind, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is something that a Muslim would ponder over and show thanks. An increase in taqwa. But the reality of it, taqwa, Ibn Rajab, rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned, a great scholar of hadith, he died in the year 795. He said, أَصْلُ التَّقْوَى أَنْ يَجْعَلَ الْعَبْدُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَخَافُهُ وَيَحْذَرُهُ وِقَايَةٍ تَقِيهِ مِنْهُ. That the reality of this taqwa and this piety, what is it? The reality, if one understands an issue, then he can visualize it, and now he can know how to obtain it. And then he will know, when do I have piety? When is the piety in my heart? When has it entered yet? How can I apply it? How can I understand this reality? How can I be from the righteous? How can I be from the pious? What does it require for me to do? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned in many verses that He has created the paradise for the pious. Mentioning about the paradise, and He closed the verses, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, uiddat lil muttaqin. Likewise, mentioning the virtues, the attributes and the characteristics of the people of piety and birr. And then He closes the verses, ulaika alladhina sadaqu wa ulaika humul muttaqun. These verses like this, laysa albirr, this verse here, is giving us the clarity of who these people are and their attributes and their conduct. The ones who Allah has prepared the paradise for. And likewise, those who benefit from the book of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and the Quran is a guide for them. They are the righteous and the pious, the people of at-taqwa. So it's very important to understand the reality of this, so one can strive to obtain it and hope to be from the people of Jannah. Not the false hopes. لَيْسَ بِأَمَانِيِّكُمْ وَلَا أَمَانِيِّ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Not from false hopes, and not from the false hopes of the people of the book, but sincerely. So what is the people of Jannah, from their greatest traits is that they have belief and they have actions. They have belief and they have actions. So Ibn Rajab, he mentioned the foundation of at-taqwa. It is that a servant will place between him, and he linguistically, between him and what he fears and what he is afraid of and what he is cautious from, a shield or a barrier that will protect him from that. This is the case. Somebody would fear something. For example, somebody who would fear the cold, he would take the proper clothing as a wiqayah to protect him from the cold weather. This is considered a wiqaya and a prevention. Like this, the one who fears something, he will take a prevention. We have seen in previous classes the reality of it. Taqwa comes from the verb waqayaqi, qi, wiqayatan. And wiqaya is a shield and a barrier and a protection, prevention. Al-wiqayatu khayrun min al-ilaj. As the Arabs, they would say that a prevention and protection is better than the cure. So he says, and in the reality of this taqwa, we see this is the meaning. It's a barrier. It's a shield. Somebody who's afraid of something, he will put a barrier between him and that to protect him from that. This is called taqwa, linguistically. So he says here, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَتَقْوَى الْعَبْدِ لِرَبِّهِ. So the taqwa of the servant with regards to his Lord, and يَجْعَلَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَخْشَاهُ مِنْ رَبِّهِ وَمِنْ غَضَبِهِ وَسَخَطِهِ وَعِقَابِهِ وِقَايَةً تَقِيهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَهُوَ فِعْلُ طَاعَتِهِ وَاجْتِنَابُ مَعَاصِيهِ. He said, so the reality of the piety of the servant, the piety of an individual with his Lord, the righteousness and the fear of his Lord, is that he would place between him and between what he fears from his Lord, what he fears from the punishment of Allah, what he fears from the anger of Allah and the retribution. He fears, he would place between this and himself a guard, a shield, a barrier, a wiqaya that will protect him from that. And the reality of this barrier, it is the performance of the acts of obedience and staying away from the acts of disobedience. So then the reality we see of a taqwa, it is to perform the acts of obedience and to stay away from the acts of disobedience. So that an individual will be able, after this understanding, to see himself and to take himself to account. Am I from the people of taqwa? How am I with regards to the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal? How am I with regards to the prohibitions of Allah Azza wa Jal in my house and in my home? How much do I know about these commandments that Allah has commanded in His book, and likewise His Messenger has commanded, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How well informed am I with regards to the prohibitions? Because the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla has come with all aspects of life. It's all encompassing deen, from the cradle to the grave. So they say every, from the beginning to the end, every aspect of life is governed by the legislation of Allah Azza wa Jalla. There's a commandments and prohibitions with regards to the way that we sit. There's commandments and prohibitions with regards to the way that we eat. There's commands and prohibitions with regards to the way that we drink. It's not just an acts of worship in the masjid. La. It's not just acts of worship, fasting. Yes, there's commandments and prohibitions here likewise, but also in the wealth and earning the wealth and spending the wealth, there's commandments and prohibitions. أَكْرَمَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Even to go to the restroom, there's commandments and prohibitions. And there's directions and regulations. Ahkam, clarified. So the one who knows them and applies them, he is from the people of taqwa. Really. So to summarize the reality of a taqwa, and this is very beneficial to understand that this is the case, this is the shield and this is the barrier between the servant and between the anger and the punishment of Allah Azza wa Jalla, and between the hellfire. Na'udhu billahi minha. Al-Iman al-Sadiq wal-Amal al-Salih. Together. This is the apple of the eye, the goal of the believer to be upon this. Al-Iman As-sadiq, wal-amal as-salih, true sincere faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He has commanded to have iman in. And likewise, the righteous deeds, the application of that faith. This, by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jalla, will be the taqwa, and this will be the wiqaya that will protect the person. The one that his heart is full of the love of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the love of what Allah loves, and full of the love of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and that which the Messenger loves, and those who Allah loves and those who the Messenger love, like this, having an allegiance and a love for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. Like this is the one, and then he applies this in the best manner according to the legislation of Allah, and this will be a means to protect him from the hellfire. Allah Azza wa Jal, He has made a means that lead to paradise, and He has made means that lead to the hellfire. The means that lead to the paradise, this is at taqwa. Rather, the paradise was prepared for them. أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. The reality of this taqwa that a Muslim will try to obtain, particularly in Ramadan, this is the commandment and the wasiyah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the beginning and to the end of His creation, the first of the people and the last of the people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has mentioned in His book, He said, وَلَقَدْ وَسَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ. That this is the command from Allah Azza wa Jal. He said subhanahu wa ta'ala that verily we have commanded those who were given the book before you and you likewise to fear Allah. And we see that this nation and the previous nations before us, fasting was prescribed upon them so that they may obtain piety. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded us in them to be amongst the righteous and the pious. And He has legislated fasting upon us and them. And this is indication for us, the last nation, to strive to be the best. And to compete and to be better than them and to fulfill the ahad and the covenant with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better than the previous nations. They were given the book and they threw it behind their back. Some of them, they use it to gain the dunya. وَلَا تَشْتَرُوا بِآيَاتِ ثَمَنًا قَلِيلًا. And they purchased with the ayat of Allah azza wa jalla at a cheap price. So now we compete against them. Some of them, what did they do with the book? They حُمِلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا. What is their example? مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ حِمَارٍ. Those previous nations that were given the book and they were given the book, the Torah, but they did not carry it in the proper manner, meaning applying it in the proper manner. Their example is the example of a donkey. يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا. يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا, carrying books on his back. So we strive to please Allah Azza wa Jal. And we learn from the previous nations, we don't fall into what they fell into. And in the case of taqwa, this is the wasiyah of Allah Azza wa Jal from the beginning of the people to the end. He has commanded the previous nations and this nation likewise with the same commandment to fear Him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to fear Him. Now, likewise, it is the wasiyah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We see in the last days of his life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered with his companions in Mecca. They asked him to advise them and to command them. Awsina ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to them, Usikum bittaqwa Allah. I command you to fear Allah. I command you to fear Allah. And I command you to believe in Allah and to obey Him and to leave off His prohibitions. That's the meaning. A taqwa is to comply to these commandments and to stay away from the prohibitions. The one who performs this, he is the one who has promised the paradise. The one who falls into some of these sins and acts of disobedience, then he is, as long as he stays in the fold of Islam, he's under the will of Allah Azza wa Jal. And he has the threat of the punishment. He has the threat of the punishment. So we want to take opportunity of this Ramadan that is coming and strive to become better, more pious and more righteous, more obedient to Allah, further away from the harm, from the haram, further away from the haram than we were before. Closer and nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to His commandments than before. The ulama, they mentioned from the best definition of the word at-taqwa, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the definition given by a man, a tabi'i, Tariq ibn Habib. He mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, at-taqwa an ta'mala bi ta'ati Allahi ala nuran min Allah, tarju thawab Allah, wa an tatruka ma'siyat Allahi ala nuran min Allah, takhafu iqab Allah. That the reality of a taqwa mentioned by Tariq ibn Habib rahimahullah ta'ala is that a person, he will work in the obedience of Allah upon a light from Allah, all the while hoping for the reward of Allah. And that he will leave off likewise the disobedience of Allah upon a light from Allah, meaning knowledge and sincere faith, fearing the punishment of Allah. So this is the case of a person, he has to be upon knowledge. The ulama, they used to say of the salaf, كَيْفَ يَتَّقِي مَنْ لَا يَدْرِي مَا يَتَّقِي. How can somebody fear something or leave off something he does not know what to fear? If he does not know that it's haram, how can he leave it off? If he does not know that it's not permissible, how can he stay away from it? If he does not know that it's dangerous, how can he protect himself from it? This is the case. So one of the fundamental issues of the reality of this taqwa, al-ilm al-nafi, that a person he will learn, the person that he will learn the beneficial knowledge, he will learn what Allah has commanded, from speech and action, from creed and belief, from manners and conducts. And he will strive against his soul to comply to that. And he will learn what Allah has prohibited. Likewise, from creed and belief, conduct and manners, speech and action, transactions and the likes. And he will strive to leave that off, all the while hoping for the reward and fearing the punishment. Doing this upon a light from Allah, sincere faith, not for the praise of the people. Not for somebody to say, mashallah, he never, his business is the most, he doesn't sell any haram, seeking the, if he does that, alhamdulillah, but he doesn't do that for the praise of the people. He does it for the pleasure of Allah. Mashallah, he memorized the whole Quran, he doesn't do that for the praise of the people. If they praise him, alhamdulillah, but he did it for the sake of Allah. He has sincerity. Ala nurin min Allah. Yarju thawab Allah. Yakhafu iqab Allah. Naam. Likewise, as a clarification for this, because this is difficult to obtain this level, but it's easy for the one who Allah makes it easy for. There's another narration from Talq ibn Habib, rahimahullah ta'ala. He mentioned likewise, and the means to apply this. He said, "Inna hukuk Allahi a'zamu min an yakuma biha al-ibad, wa inna ni'am Allahi aktharu min an tuhsa, walakin asbihu ta'ibina wa amsu ta'ibin." He said, "Verily, the rights of Allah are greater than any of the servants to establish all of them, to perform all of them." The rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to perform all of them. This is greater than the servants to perform. And the blessings of Allah are more than one could enumerate. So then how could he ever obtain this piety? He says, but what you should do is you should come into mourning. In the morning time you should be repentant, in the evening time you should be repentant. Meaning that an individual who would strive to please Allah, at the same time he would see that his deeds are few. And that he would be repenting to Allah Azza wa Jalla, hoping that what he has performed will be accepted. And he would not be boastful and arrogant. I prayed in the masjid all prayers. I was the first in the line. La. If this was the case, he would say, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. It's from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. But he would not boast with his deeds. Rather, he would come in the morning repentant, and he would come in the evening repentant, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. Being a humble servant, being a true abd. From the meaning of the word ibadah, tadhallul, that he will be low, and that he will be humble, and that he will be submissive to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Likewise, from the beneficial statements of the Salaf with regards to this word at taqwa, there's a statement of Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Ali Imran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions, اتقوا الله حق تقاته. And fear Allah as he ought to be feared, or fear Allah as the right that he has to be feared. So Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he mentioned about this. How can one fear Allah, the true fear, the correct fear? كيف يتقي الله العبد حق تقاته. How could he fear him in the manner that he deserves to be feared, subhanahu wa ta'ala? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he said, radiyallahu anhu, that means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an yuta'a fala yu'sa, wa yuthkara fala yunsa, wa an yushkara fala yukfar. That means that he should be obeyed and not disobeyed. The one who fears Allah, the right that he has to be feared, he has the true piety in his heart, he is the one who obeys Allah and does not disobey him. And he's striving for this, striving for this. And he remembers Allah and he does not forget him. And he thanks Allah and he does not show any ingratitude towards him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the reality. This is the reality, that fearing Allah is as the right that he has to be feared. As Talq mentioned, one will not be able to live up to this. So what will he do? He will strive his best and then seek forgiveness for his shortcomings. He will strive his best. Saddidu wa qaribu wa abshiru. He will strive to do his best and then seek forgiveness for his shortcomings. But he will never give up this hope or have despair in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn Rajab, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, وَشُكْرُهُ يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ جَمِيعُ الطَّاعَاتِ وَمَعْنَ ذِكْرِهِ فَلَا يُنْسَى ذِكْرُ الْعَبْدِ بِقَلْبِهِ لِأَوَامِرِ اللَّهِ فِي حَرَكَاتِهِ وَسَكَنَاتِهِ وَكَلِمَاتِهِ فَيَمْتَثِلُهَا وَلِنَوَاهِيهِ فِي ذَلِكَ كُلِّ فَيَجْتَنِبُهَا. Ibn Rajab, he mentioned the commentary on this statement of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that showing thanks to Allah in this manner and not being inappreciative, meaning that this includes all the actions of obedience. Not just saying thank you, alhamdulillah, la, but all the actions of obedience. This is the way to show thanks, To show thanks with the eyes is to obey Allah with the eyes. And to show thanks with the hands is to obey Allah with the hands. And to show thanks for the blessing of the feet and the heart and the like is to use these blessings in the manner pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in a manner legislated by Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said the meaning of the servant remembering Allah and yuthkar fala yunsa, to remember Allah and to not forget Him. This means to that a servant, that an individual, he will remember Allah with his heart, meaning remembering the commandments of Allah and his movements, and whenever he is still, whenever he is speaking and his speech and the likes, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal and complying to his commandments. So the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal is not limited to the dhikr. For example, after salah, subhanallah, subhanallah, subhanallah. This is from the dhikr. But the great dhikr is the dhikr of the awamir, and the compliance to the commandments of Allah, the dhikr, the remembrance of the commands of Allah. Whenever one is in the street, whenever one is going about his day, whenever one is getting his earnings, whenever one is dealing with the people, and the situations occur, he remembers Allah. This one's permissible, I take it. This one is not permissible, I leave it. This one Allah is not pleased for me to look at, I turn my eyes away, like this. I remember the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the one that is remembering Allah. This is the one that is fearing Allah, the right that he has to be feared. And likewise to his prohibitions, and so staying away from them. He says, again, he said, وَأَصْلُ التَّقْوَى أَنْ يَعْلَمَ الْعَبْدُ مَا يُتَّقَى ثُمَّ يَتَّقِي. Naam, he said, and the fundamental issue with regards to piety, at taqwa, is that the individual, he will know what should be left off and then leave it off. He will know what to fear, and then he will fear it. This is the case. The people of At-Taqwa, they range. And their ranks and status. The people of the paradise, likewise, this is the case. They're not all one level or one rank. نعم لكل درجات درجات مما عملوا لكل درجات مما عملوا. That for each one they have status and ranks for their deeds. So the one that the ulama, they mentioned those who enter the paradise and abide therein without any punishment, their attribute is that they believe in Allah Azza wa Jal and they comply to His commandments, all of them, and leave off His prohibitions. The one who lives like this, this is the one who enters the paradise without any reckoning and without any punishment. The commandments and prohibitions. Now, this is the person who complies to what is obligatory and he leaves off what is impermissible. This one is a wali of Allah Azza wa Jal. This one is from the ones who are promised the paradise. Now, from those who are, this is his attribute. It has come in many narrations in the Prophet, in the hadith of Abi Hurairah, and the hadith of Jabir, and other than them. And the narrations, the desert Arab will come, or a stranger will come, and ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He will say, "If I do this, well, what can I do to go to paradise?" And he will tell him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to believe in Allah, to worship Allah alone, and to not associate partners with Him. And he will mention the obligations and the pillars of Islam, and then he will say, "I'm not going to increase above this or decrease." And the Prophet ﷺ, he mentioned in one narration, "Sadaqa in aflaha," that he's truthful. Aflaha in sadaqa, that he is successful if he is truthful, meaning that this is what it takes to enter paradise by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla, to comply to the commandments and leave off the prohibitions. But for those who hope to have a higher rank and higher status, for those who hope to have the high ranks and the high status in the paradise, they're the ones who add to the obligations. They add to the obligations, the mustahabat, and the non-obligatory acts. And they leave off the makruhat and the dislike actions. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.